if you're able, stand to your feet. And before we jump headlong into the Word of God today, if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, He will direct our path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I want you to reach your hands this way, and I want us to agree, hallelujah, that the Lord will help us this morning receive from Him. Let us agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You this morning. Father, we pray You cover us. Cover us with the cross. Cover us with the blood today. Hallelujah. May we be under the umbrella of Your protection. And Lord, may this word be Your word today. Father, we acknowledge in the way of this message that You do direct our path. You direct the pathways of our heart and mind, our understanding. Stir today, Lord, with Your power and Your anointing, Lord. And let us perceive today, Lord, hallelujah, the good things in Your Word that You've given to us, that You preserve for us today. Father, I just praise You for this assembly of believers here this morning. Thank You for everything that's done so far. And Lord, we just look to You for comfort. We look to You for health. We look to You for guidance. We look to You for blessing. We look to You for reassurance today. We look to You for salvation and every good thing. We look to You because You are the provider and the source of all good things. Minister by Your power. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Shake someone's hand before you're seated and say, it's surely good to see you in the Lord's house. I'm going to tell you right now, just sit down. I've got actually an extended number of verses to read, so I'm allowing you to remain seated this morning for the reading of our initial scriptures. Locate Psalm 72. Just to give you a quick heads up, I'm not going to have you turn to every place I will be reading from this morning, but I do want you to locate Psalm 72, then the book of Matthew, then the book of 1 Kings. How many found all three? No, I know you haven't had time yet. But Psalm 72, and again, you can remain seated for the reading of the Word of God. I could have included this chapter when we were teaching about Christ in the Old Testament, but I chose not to. There were just so many, many things that I could have and I needed to cover, and we had eight separate sessions in which we taught about Jesus. How many know and understand Brother Ted Stidham enough to know that the message today is going to be about Jesus? How many figured that out? Have y'all got that yet? We'll soon be here 10 years, and if you ain't got that yet, you're in trouble. Ain't my fault. I've tried. I really, really have. But I want to tell you about Jesus today. I love Him. Do you love the Lord today? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for my wonderful Savior and what He has done for me. Glory to God. Just feel the touch of God in a wonderful way today. Last week, I talked about David being a man after God's own heart. And the point I made, and just want to touch on it real quick, is that David and the love he had toward a disobedient son, I believe in just one sense, shows the awesome, wonderful goodness and mercy of God. How many remember that when I preached on that thought? Do y'all remember that? Well, David, with a heart after God, has dealings with his son. And I want to look here in Psalm 72. In fact, I want to read the entire psalm. It's 20 verses. And as we read about this, I want us to think about the heart of David. And I know that every parent, I hope, every parent loves your children. I hope they do. Interesting in this world we see today that you don't always see what should be. And I don't understand child abuse. I don't understand abortion today. I don't understand things, but I guess I don't think the way a lot of this world thinks. Is that all right? Can I say that today? You know, because children are a heritage, they're a blessing. And I'm thanking God for my two children. Been all right if we'd had 20, like the Duggars. They had 19. I don't know if what we could have done had had a bigger house. Someone say amen. But the heart of God, I believe, is seen through David. as he makes this prayer for his son Solomon. Now, if you're in Psalm 72, give me one more amen. This is titled, I don't know if some Bibles include these or not, but a Psalm for Solomon. How many see that? And just to clarify, if you will fast forward to the last verse, it says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Just to clarify that this is the words of David in regard to his son Solomon, the one that sat on the throne after David. Amen. Now, verse 1, it says this, and if you will just be patient. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace as long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall bow before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. Verse 14 says, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. He shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Seba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall call, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And again, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Someone say amen at the reading of the word. We've already prayed, but God is good. God had his blessing to his word. I believe that what we have here is David, a man after God's own heart, moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and how many believe the Holy Ghost moved upon men to record his word, recording this prayer for Solomon, his son, knowing that Solomon was the next in line. He uttered these words. They were recorded and preserved for me and you. But as he is listening to the Holy Ghost and writing these words down, I believe that God is interjecting a few words that go beyond Solomon. How many are with me? There are phrases here, and I could point out nine of them, in which it goes beyond the natural man Solomon, I believe, and refer to another son of David that we're going to talk about this morning. I know him as son of David. How many know him as son of David today? He is the king that sat upon the throne. The angels made that proclamation when they were telling the shepherds that a babe was born in Bethlehem. I know Jesus is my king, not just my king. He is king of kings. He is Lord of lords. And he's able today to minister in that position of authority on the throne. I want you to notice verse number 4. It's interesting that Solomon was a man of peace, and that during Solomon's reign, he didn't have to fight no battles. David had already won the battles. But when it said in verse 4, describing this son of David, at the end of this verse, it says, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. I believe that's referring to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And how many understand what Jesus done on Calvary? He defeated once and for all the power of the enemy. I believe during those 3 days he was in the grave. He went down to the heart of the earth and he ripped the keys out of the enemy. Praise God. He put the oppressor under his feet once and for all. And I'm part of the kingdom of Jesus today. He's under Jesus' feet. I believe he's under my feet. Amen. This goes beyond just Solomon. Say amen. The next verse, verse 5, talks about all generations, eternal reverence through all generations. Solomon reigned but one generation for 40 years. Verse 7, it describes his eternal days bringing peace and prosperity. Again, eternal. How many understand that's more than the natural man Solomon? Verse number 8, let me continue here. It ends talking about how his kingdom would go from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Now, Solomon at his height had his kingdom from the river Euphrates in the north all the way to the river of Egypt. It covered what we know today as the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, Jordan, Syria, and all of these countries were part of Solomon's kingdom. But how many understand he didn't reign upon the whole earth? How many understand this is talking about more than Solomon? If you believe that, say amen. Verse number 11, yea, all kings shall fall before him. And what does it say? All. Somebody say all. All nations shall serve him. That did not happen for Solomon. Verse number 19 talks about the whole earth being full of his glory. Back up to verse 13 and 14. It said he would save the soul of the needy and he would redeem the soul. Now, how many understand that Solomon, as smart as he was and as powerful as he was and in all his splendor, couldn't save a solitary soul? That took the Son of God coming and paying the price on Calvary to redeem and save the soul. Now, really, what I want to plant here is just this, that this is talking about more than Solomon, more than the next son of David. It's talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Locate Matthew chapter number 12. Jesus was on his way through Jericho. And this is recorded in Mark chapter 10. Don't turn there. But as he's going down this road, a blind man named Bartimaeus sat, Sister Margaret, by the highway side begging. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was coming through. Say Jesus of Nazareth. They identified him by name and location, who he was and where he was from. And this blind man, who did not have natural sight but had heard many testimonies and knew that this was the man that healed, actually he had to hear more than that, because he began to cry out a title to Jesus to get his attention. He cried, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And what did they do? They told him to hold his peace, to be quiet. And the more they tried to hush him up, the louder he got, Brother David. He began to cry, the Bible says, a great deal more. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, again, we don't know what all the blind man heard, but he knew that this was a special individual. It was more than just Jesus of Nazareth. This was the Messiah. This was the King that is to sit upon the throne of David. And that title, Son of David, means a lot. I know him today as Son of God. How many believe he's the Son of God, divine from the Father? Hallelujah. Friends, I know him as Son of God. I believe he indeed was conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that he was not procreated with a man. Hear me now. But he took upon a fleshly form. He is Son of God, but he's also Son of man. He was in this frail tabernacle of flesh as we know it today and are acquainted. How many are looking forward to putting off this tabernacle of flesh and being changed and putting on a brand new body? 1 Corinthians 15, Brother Delmer talked about how it would be a celestial body, not a terrestrial earthly, but a celestial heavenly. It'll be not subject to corruption, but it'll be incorruptible, immortal, eternal. Death will be swallowed up in victory. We'll gain a brand new body. But while Jesus was here, he went around in this house He was Son of Man. He was Son of God. He was Son of David. Now, I want to give you two verses in Matthew. This is the first one, Matthew 12. If you're in Matthew 12, say amen. I want to give you four things, though, that I believe, looking at Solomon, that I see Jesus. If the Lord would help me today. How many are going to pray for God to give us understanding this morning? Because I believe with all of my heart, if the Lord would bless us today and I could get this word out. Hallelujah. I believe it would help you today. I believe it would bless you today. I believe the Lord wants to encourage you. How many find that life is full of headaches and heartaches and trouble and problem? I'm not just being down and out today. But you know, as the sparks fly up, or the Bible says, man is a few days in full trouble. And I believe we need some encouragement along the way. Friends, I've got my eyes on heaven. I'm thinking of not just walls of jasper and gates of pearl and streets of gold and foundations of precious stones, but I'm thinking of that everlasting light that will always be there. I'm talking about the Lamb of God. He's there to illuminate the city, and I'm looking forward to spending eternity with my Lord. Say amen. Notice Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to give you four things today. I believe, first of all, Jesus, like Solomon, is the son of David. And he's a king sitting upon the throne. How many can say, okay, amen to the first one? Number two, the scripture describes Solomon as the wisest man up to that point that had ever lived. And we see the wisdom of Solomon. And I love the story of the two women that came to him, one with a dead baby and one with a live baby. And just that wisdom of God to get to the bottom of whose mother was really the mother. I love that. Notice verse 42. And again, Solomon, the wisest man to that point, displayed his wisdom. And verse 42, the queen of the south. We're going to talk about her in a minute when we get to 1 Kings chapter 10. The queen of the south shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I want you to notice she traveled a great, great distance. Having heard, and I'm going to use the word today, a rumor. Turn to your neighbor and say rumor. That's part of my title today, a rumor. She heard, Brother Micah, a rumor of this man named Solomon, the wisdom that he had, and the rumor was so great that she took the effort to come a great distance to find out herself if it was true. Someone say, praise the Lord. It says she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater, our Lord himself, making a comparison here, comparing himself to Solomon. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. How many understand who the greater one is? And if Solomon had such wisdom that he would attract someone from the farthest reaches of the world to come just out of curiosity, can you say amen? There was no other reason. Their kingdoms was not at odds. There was no threat being that far away. It was just raw, simple curiosity. She came such a distance. But I want to tell you, regardless of what this world may show you or what splendor or magnificence is in this world, I want to point you to something that's far greater this morning. His name is Jesus. Now, the Bible described, and don't turn, I want you to find, glory to God, chapter 6. Stay in Matthew. I'm not going to ask you to turn. I think I work people to death. Have them turn all over the place. I hope that don't bother you, but you're welcome to my notes afterwards if you want them. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, referring to the Messiah's kingdom and the peace that would be there, the knowledge of the Lord would cover the world as the waters cover the sea. And he would set his head again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that were left. This is where the lion will dwell with the kid, and the child will play on the hole of the cockatrice. Then they will not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, the Messiah's kingdom. Say amen. That chapter says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. How many would have loved to have been there at baptism as our Lord come up out of that watery grave as John suffered him, as he dunked him under there in the River Jordan, and as he come up, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove settled upon him. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. And Isaiah went on to say, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord rested on Jesus. I want you to know, friends, today that when I've got a problem, I can go to the one that has all wisdom, all understanding. Hallelujah. You know, oftentimes you'll call up your pastor, and I want you to be encouraged to do that. I'll be there for you. But you can go to a greater one than your preacher. A greater one than Ted Stidham is here this morning. A greater one than Solomon is here this morning. I'm not pointing people to me. I'm not looking to attract people to Ted Stidham. But I'm looking to attract people to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, I will disappoint you. But Jesus will not disappoint you. Woo! Glory to God. Solomon was an example of wisdom. And a greater than Solomon is here. Now, chapter number 6. I want you to locate that. Solomon was privileged to build the temple. The Bible talks how it took him 7 years to construct the temple. And I don't know in modern day money. I'm thinking the last time I estimated it, it was somewhere around $2 billion to construct the temple. And the way gold has been lately, although gold is slightly down now, someone said the other day, was it Brother Mike or who was it said here talking about gold the other day and how many pounds was in the candlestick Brother Micah did when he preached here a couple days ago. And what was it, about a hundred pound? Is that right? 100 pound of gold at 16 ounces per pound, 1,600 ounces of gold times $1,500. You know, you're pushing $2.5 to $3 million for a piece of furniture. But it held the lamps. And that light was told to burn. Good message of the baby, Brother Micah. Hallelujah. But he's the builder. Jesus is my builder today. He constructed my temple. Now I want to say this from the sense of he did breathe into man. And man became a living soul. How many understand that? These physical bodies and this physical temple, I believe, was made by the hand of God as he formed man, as he scooped up the dust of the ground and he blew into man. He formed him, blew into him. He became a living soul. We made in the likeness of God, unique from all the other creatures upon the face of the earth, in that we can have an awareness of God. But I believe Jesus built my temple in a little different aspect. A temple, Brother Delmer, is the place where people would go to meet God. May I say that what Jesus did for me and you was allow me and you to be able to meet God. A spiritual temple in which we can have fellowship and communion with God. I can rendezvous with God. And I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm talking about having a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day place, location that you can meet God. And I'll tell you where that location is. It is in Jesus. Can you say amen? My goodness, why ain't y'all shouting and running the pews and clapping your hands and dancing with all of your mind and all them things? When you get time, read Zechariah 6 where it talked about the branch being a priest upon his throne, and that he would build that temple. I've asked you to turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Let me cut to the chase here. He is the son of David upon the throne. He is, number 2, the wisest man that ever lived, even wiser than Solomon. Number 3, Jesus built the real temple. Number 4, Matthew 6:28. Consider this. And we're going to immediately go to 1 Kings. It says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." And Jesus said something interesting here. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon," somebody say Solomon, "even Solomon, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus used Solomon, hear me now, as an example of beauty and splendor. Anybody here got a Cadillac? Next week is Pastor Appreciation. I'm thinking of good Pastor Appreciation. I'm joking. A Cadillac is a fine automobile. Say amen. But when you say Cadillac, you sort of are talking about the epitome, the gold standard, the example. What is the Cadillac of something? Are y'all with me now? It is the finest example thereof. And they use that as a point of reference. May I say that Solomon was the Cadillac. Telling you about the flowers out there in the field. They're so beautiful. How many think nature is beautiful? It is. I'm thankful for the beauty and the splendor of nature. But friends, I want you to know, I don't worship the creation. I worship the Creator. If nature is that good, imagine the hand that brought it into existence. Hear me now. If it is that wonderful and splendid and glorious, and I marvel at it all the time, don't get me wrong, I see it everywhere and it just catches my attention. How great is our Lord that spoke it into existence? Because greater is the builder than the house he built. Y'all catch that? Greater is the builder than the house he built. And Solomon, in all his splendor, this example of beauty and glory at his height, cannot be compared to a flower that God allows to pop up and wither. If Solomon is that good, how good is Jesus? If you're with me, say amen. 1 Kings chapter 10, do follow me. Solomon again, an example of wisdom, but a greater than Solomon is here. An example of beauty and splendor. Talking about the Queen of the South, this is the Queen of Sheba. And I'm going to title my message today, Rumors. Rumors. You know, rumors aren't always bad. A rumor is just a saying that goes around of something questionable that's unknown. Many times it's sourced in gossip. Say amen. But it don't have to be. Hallelujah. I heard a rumor that they didn't have a preaching Friday night at Brush Creek. I reckon that rumor's true, ain't it, Sister Jones? As far as I know, Brother Tim didn't get a preach. The Lord took over. Hallelujah. That's all right. But notice verse 1. If you'll bear with me, I want to tell you this story. It says, "And the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon." And again, it's from the ends of the earth, a long way away, concerning the name of the Lord. "And she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." Verse number 4. "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and the cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord." I want you to catch this phrase with me. We're going to keep reading, but notice the end here. It says, "What? There was no more spirit in her." I want you to think of that. "And she said to the king, it was true." It was a true report, the rumor. that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. And mine eyes have seen it. And behold, read this with me, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. I want you to know how I feel today. I feel this way with Jesus. I do. On the outside, I heard people say, you need to get saved. You need to know the Lord. You need to get your sins forgiven. You need to avoid that place called hell. I heard that. And you know, thought about it for a while. I remember when I was 13 years old and the Lord dealing with my heart, you know, but I didn't pursue it until I got 16. When I was 16, I got saved, and I've been on this road ever since. But I will tell you that after I've arrived there, and after I've seen all that involves this Son of David, after I have sat at His table, after I have heard His wisdom, after I have seen His majesty and His splendor and had a personal walk and talk and relationship with Jesus, I can tell you, just like the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told me. Jesus is better than I ever imagined Him to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, you may not have my walk, and I want you to know, you may have a closer walk. Don't get me wrong, but I've got my walk and I ain't trading with nobody. But I read this and I read the phrase at the end of verse number 5. And it said there was no more spirit in her. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is she saying here? What is she describing? What are they describing about this woman that is just in awe? All of the rumors that she heard and the greatness was enough to arouse her curiosity, that she brought this great train and these precious things such a great, great distance, and they didn't even hit 50%. Less than half was actually told. How good is Jesus this morning? He's the treasure I found in a field. I've sold it all that I could buy the field and it could be rightfully mine. Are y'all with me today? Now, I'm not telling you that being a Christian is easy, okay? I'm not telling you that the trials that you go through are going to be easy, but this is what I am telling you. It's worth it. I'm telling you it's worth it. You're gaining far more than you could possibly lose. And someone would say, if I got saved, I'd have to quit this, that, or the other. Friends, size up what you're gaining. Because if you do, it cannot compare. And then when you get in and then you sample, it's greater than what you ever imagined it to be as you looked at it from the outside in once you get in. Can you say praise the Lord? I don't know about you, but I've used this phrase of myself. Now I want you to notice the end of verse 5. This woman in awe of this Son of David's splendor and beauty. One version said, and there was no more breath in her. The word spirit here is from the ruah of the Hebrew, and it means our breath. How many understand when God breathed in the man, that was a spirit of life, but it was breath, called breath. Many things we could touch on there. Another version says she was utterly amazed. I'll accept that. Another version said she was breathless. How many of y'all, when you was first seeing your honey, it was love at first sight, and you just sort of you got butterflies flapping around? Maybe it was bats. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Another version said it left her breathless and amazed. And this last one, hallelujah. I can feel it today. This says she was so amazed she could hardly breathe. How many have a relationship with Jesus today? It's so much better than you imagined it could have been From the outside looking in, you thought, well, I need to. I do want to avoid going to that place called hell. And my sins are awful bad and I need to take them to Jesus. But once you get in and once you meet this man, this son of David, hallelujah, he'll take your breath away. He'll leave you in awe. He'll leave you amazed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, if the Queen of Sheba could be left amazed at Solomon, I want you to know that a greater than Solomon is here this morning. And we can leave this place today. I was about to say leave his presence, but I'm not saying that. I'm taking him with me. Anybody with me? But we can be left amazed and in awe. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano and prepare a song for us this morning? When the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon David and he wrote the 72nd Psalm, what we began, how many believe that he had Jesus on his mind? This son of David, wisest man that ever lived, this king that sits on the throne, who has the Spirit of wisdom upon him, who is wonderful in splendor, the builder of the temple. And friends, I want you to know, Jesus is beautiful to me. Jesus is beautiful to me. I want to encourage our young people, receive everything the Lord has for you. I can't describe this. I could pull every hair I've got out and try till I'm blue in the face. I cannot describe this until you make that journey. And sometimes it seems like a long journey, just like the Queen of Sheba made. But I will say this, if you will visit Jesus, he'll leave you amazed and breathless. He is altogether lovely. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning and we praise you this morning for a wonderful salvation. Thank you for your touch and your presence. Lord, I thank you for what I feel right now. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. Lord, we ask you just to have your way today. Son of David, have your way. Son of David, have mercy upon us. Have your way. Just visit us with your power. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Friends, let's find a place and pray this morning. Will you come to the altar and surrender to Jesus today? Find a place and pray.